Herbert Taylor knew that his company was going out of business. He saw the signs, as did his co-workers. He, unlike those that he served with, though, had some glimmer of hope that his business could be restored. He believed for that to happen. During this time in the 1930s, just after the Great Depression, he believed for that to happen, that they had to have a renewal, a return to ethics and high forms of integrity within this company. I can only imagine that some of his co-workers found Taylor's response to this crisis laughable. Imagine when crisis is up against you. When challenges, when tough times face us. I can only think that his co-workers must have thought, this is not the time to be evaluating ethics. This is the time about surviving, making it through. I don't want to feel good, some of the people may thought. I don't want to be nice while our company is going out of business. I want to survive. But this is just the setting. And that was just the attitude that Taylor felt like his company had to take on so that they could indeed survive. To not just exist, but to thrive in their industry and perhaps any industry or institution. Herbert Taylor would go on to devise, as a result of his spiritual pursuit and questioning of his business and in his life, to develop the four-way test that's been implemented by an organization known as the Rotary International. The four-way test to continuously examine yourself. The ethics of how you conduct your relationships in business, in life, in family, in church. But the important thing to understand is before Taylor gave something to Rotary, Taylor received from Rotary. He'd been impacted. He had been inspired by their motto of service above self. The primary motto that moved on into that secondary motto. That one profits most who serves best. You see, he didn't just hear those words. But Herbert Taylor embraced those words and practiced those words and lived those words. And he wanted it to live in his business. He truly believed that those principles were the ones that would build a foundation for any institution to stand, a foundation of integrity and ethics. And they made it. They survived. They thrived through the leadership of re-examining, even in the toughest of times, how do we treat one another? How do we live out a life of integrity? Or how do we live out our faith in the Spirit of Jesus? See, I don't know about you all, but I struggle when times are tough to remember my ethics. Those are when the challenges face us the most. When we face tough times in life, in business, in family, in school. When we're on the outside looking in, when people are mean to us, when we're not being treated as we should be in school by our friends. It's a challenge for us to take on that same spirit and forget the spirit on which our faith is built. The love of Jesus, the way of the Lord, the call to faith. To rise, as Shay shared with us in this reading from the Genesis text today, to rise in the spirit of Abraham, above the circumstances and challenges that we face, to embrace the passion, to walk more closely in the ways of the Lord, as Abraham heard in the call.
God said, walk before me blamelessly.
And Abraham was faithful. You know, I gained some encouragement this morning from the gospel reading. When I hear about this story, Peter, oh, I get confidence when I hear Peter. Because here he was, the rock Jesus described him, on which he was going to build his church. Peter, the great disciple, the head leader on which the Christian church was built, the number one servant behind Jesus. Peter got it wrong so often. I find inspiration in that. Encouragement. Or I guess I mean what I'm trying to say is I find hope for Jody. When I see how much Peter blew it. Here in our text today, we're following this up where Peter had just pronounced that Jesus is the Messiah. He got it right. And then right after he got it right, he got it wrong. He got it wrong in our text today. Peter's like many of you who look upon that dress and somehow you people that get it wrong see a blue and black dress. And all the rest of us know it's gold and white, right? Have you seen the dress, folks? There's been a great debate in our culture recently. And some say they're right and some say they're wrong. And some people say you're both right. And you're both wrong. You're a little right and you're a little wrong. And isn't that the nature of our faith in the spirit of Peter? Sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we get it wrong. And that was who Peter was. And that is who we are. And God never gives up on us. Isn't there hope in that? That in these words where Peter seeks to rebuke Jesus to straighten him out, Jesus has to straighten him out instead. Jesus never gives up on Peter. Even when he gets it wrong. The challenge, it seems, for Peter is that it was one of those tough times. Jesus was talking about being rejected, denied, persecuted, even murdered. It wasn't the prescription that Peter wanted to hear. It was a tough time that he faced, and he wanted to live out what he thought was right, not the divine nature of God. Jesus said, get your mind off human understanding and seek and have faith in God. Put your mind on divine things, not on earthly things. But somehow, Abraham, the great father and perfecter in many ways of our faith, that was the thing that rose above so many other on their life journey, was that Abraham trusted in God. Even when times were tough. Even when he was 99 years old and he heard this promise throughout his adult life that a great family would come forth from he and Sarah. And it hadn't happened. But Abraham continued to trust God even in tough times. Moving his family. Taking persecution from those all around. Living it as we would in our workplace, in our profession, with challenges every day. Abraham remain one who walked before the Lord blamelessly. It seems in the spirit of Paul, as he tells us in Romans, that the thing it was about Abraham that made him the father of our faith was just that. It wasn't that he was so righteous in his behavior. It wasn't that he, unlike Peter, didn't mess up at times. The thing about Abraham, Paul would tell us, the apostle, was that Abraham was righteous before God because of what? Because of his faith. Because he trusted not in himself, but in God's strength, in God's ways, even when times were tough and challenges were all before him. We began this season of Lent last Sunday, and I reminded all of us, including myself, I have to remember too as the pastor, what is Lent? What do we emphasize during this holy season? And I'm sure most of you have forgotten, because I'd forgotten and I'd look at my notes again. So I'm going to remind us again what we talked about last week. I'm not going to preach two sermons, just a little brief reminder about this season. Where we talked about this is the time that we do two things more so than in any other time of the church year. We more intentionally, don't you like that word? We more intentionally seek God. And we remember more fully in our seeking as we seek God that He first sought us. Isn't that beautiful? So we search. And we take our pursuit of God more seriously, and we remember that we were already pursued by God. It's time to seek and a time to remember. And on this second holy season, the second Sunday of Lent, we remember that one of the ways that we most intimately pursue God and become engaged with the Lord of life is through faith. Through trusting in the one who made us, the one who saved us, the one who embraces us, the one who claims us as his own through his grace and love. In the spirit of Abraham. But you know, I find as many questions as I do answers in these scriptures today. This text about Abraham. Yes, I get it. I understand in the words of Paul that Abraham was the father of his faith because of his faith, because he trusted in God. But I have another question. How did he do it? Don't we all live with that question at some point in our life? Lord, how can we have more faith? We yearn to have more faith. We want to trust in the Lord more. The disciples had that question too. Remember the appeal that they had before Jesus? Lord, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. Or in the spirit of the one who sought to be healed, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. Lord, increase our faith. That's the question we live with so often in our life's journey. So how did Abraham do it? How did he trust in the Lord? And introduce us to the faith of the one who made us. Paul gives us a little hint in Romans 4. When he finishes this great sermon, Paul, the great apostle, where he introduces us that it was Abraham's faith that made him righteous, he says here at the very ending of that passage in Romans 4, verse 20, he said, as Abraham glorified God, he grew in the strength of his faith. Now let's unpack that a bit. What does that mean? To me, it says that Paul is reminding us that central to Abraham's faith and trust in God was Abraham's worship and glorification of God. In other words, the more thankful he was, the more worshipful he was, the more trust he had in the one he worshipped. And the one he served. Isn't that what we do as people in our life and our relationships? When life is hard, when we find it challenging to trust those, when it seems like the world is attacking us or everything is against us, who do we go to? We go to those we can trust the most. So often it's family, sometimes it's not family. So often it's parents or a sibling. We trust those who've proven themselves trustworthy, right? They've been there for us time and time again. And we thank them. We embrace them. We grow in affection and intimacy for them. We trust them. In many ways, and in a greater way, that's the relationship that Paul points out that Abraham embraced with the Lord above. He trusted God because God had proved him times and times again. And when he was conscious of what God did, when he was thankful, when he was worshipful, he trusted him even more. See, what happens is when we count our blessings, when we pause often, when we're in the challenges and the things that I call the junk of life sometimes, when we pause long enough to consider not how big the hurdle is that we face, but when we consider that God has taken us over the mountain and the hurdles so often, then we give thanks to God, worship Him, and grow in our faith. I think Paul got it right. When we are people of worship, when we embrace attitudes of gratitude, when we take on spirits that glorify our God, then we grow in faith and trust of God. That's encouraging. Because really, we don't have to do anything. We come to this holy place and embrace what God has done for us. And even in that holy act of worship, we grow in faith. Look, I get it. I understand there's challenges that we all face that will test our faith, that will test our ethics, our integrity, that will test our willingness to want to worship and go to church on Sunday mornings. We all face those circumstances where we have to wonder, are we a thermostat or are we a thermometer? Boy, I connect with that thermometer too often in life. In my life, when challenges, when things are up, I'm often up, but when things are down, I so often go down like the thermometer. But the thermostat, the person who embraces their faith like a thermostat, decides not to be affected by what's happening around them. Instead of fluctuating by what's happening around us, the person with a thermostat faith instead says, not only am I not going to be affected by what's happening, but through the strength of God, I'm going to set the temperature in the world around me. I'm going to rise above. I'm going to count my blessings. I'm not going to focus on how cold it is around me, how abrasive the world is out here. I'm going to set my internal temperature through the grace and strength of God, and I'm going to be thankful more of what I had than I emphasize what I don't have. It's not about ignoring the crisis that we face in life, but it's choosing not to let those challenges define us and determine who we are, but only the grace of God does that. So friends, during this holy season, as we seek to more intentionally pursue Jesus and remember that He first pursued us, may we make it one of our chief priorities to more passionately, more energetically, more fervently worship the Lord of life. And as we worship Him and live out attitudes of gratitude for the Savior of the world, we, in the spirit of Abraham, will find our faith renewed and restored to the glory of the Lord. Amen.